You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast on this first day of February 2019. Tough to believe we're already 1 month into the new year, but I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you want to listen to this podcast, just tell Google, Siri, or Alexa, play Locked On Jets, and you'll be able to do it. It's that simple. It is the final podcast of the 2018 NFL season because by the next time we chat, the Super Bowl will be over. It's another season in the books, another disappointing year for the Jets, which technically ended a few weeks ago, but this is the official end of the NFL season. Now that the Pro Bowl is played before the Super Bowl, you may remember years ago, the Pro Bowl was actually played a week after the Super Bowl, so really, the last game of the NFL season wasn't until after Super Bowl Sunday. This is the final game of the NFL season, which will allow the Jets to turn the page. It feels like we say that every year on this podcast, the Super Bowl, is that we're turning the page finally on a disappointing Jets season. And as it feels like we say every year on the podcast, the Patriots are unfortunately playing the last game of the year. So on today's show, we're going to talk about Super Bowl 53. We'll start the show off, though, on kind of a light note. I've tried to do this through the years, which we haven't been on for that long, but I like, before I make an official prediction of the game, I like to go through some of the prop bets. You can bet on anything when it comes to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's kind of funny how the stuff they allow you to bet on. So I'll make a few predictions, and we'll see how well I do on these. I mean, you probably can't do worse than I do making football predictions. So if we want to make just prop bets on things, that some of them will happen during the game, some will happen outside the field of the play, I'll probably do better. Just watch. So let's jump on in. And I guess our first prop bets are actually based on things that'll happen in the game. The over under for Tom Brady passing yards is 301.5. So will he have 302 or more? And I would go over. I think he probably will. I think you'd be wise. You'd always be wise to bet on Brady producing. So I would go with the over on that. Jared Goff, it's 289.5. So will he have more or less than 289.5 passing yards? So essentially 290. Will he go over 290? I could see him going over in this game. You know, a lot of it will depend on the flow of the game, but I think I see him going over in this game. Next up, Rob Gronkowski, over under 53.5 yards receiving. So 54 receiving yards, that seems very doable for Gronk, so I'd go high. And I think, you know, I think we will see some offensive fireworks in this game. That would not surprise me. The longest field goal, over or under 48 yards. You know, after you had a game, an NFC title game decided by a 57-yard field goal, I think you would have to go over, wouldn't you? I think, especially indoors in this environment, coaches will probably be aggressive with what they'll allow their field goal kickers to attempt. So I think I would go over. I would not be surprised to see a kick of 49 or yards or longer. That's a pretty easy one. I would go that. Coin toss, heads or tails. You can bet on the, I mean, good Lord, you can bet on the coin toss. Well, tails never fails, right? Tails never fails. So let's go with tails. And apparently, based on the company that I got these odds from, they say 57, somehow 57% of people think heads is going to happen. Only 43% are going with tails. So why it wouldn't be 50-50? I mean, tails never fails, right? So only 43%, I guess, agree with that. The length of the national anthem, over or under 1 minute 50 seconds. Oh, that's got to be an over. I think that's got to be an over. It's a big big-time event. I think that's an over. How many times will Gisele Bündchen be shown during the TV broadcast? 1.5. Well, that's an over. I think that's a pretty – that one's pretty pretty easy, I think. I think that one's also an over. Which quarterback will be shown first during the national anthem? Brady or Goff? Brady is the favorite. Yeah, I would go with Brady. Which coach will be shown first during the national anthem? Belichick or McVay? Belichick the favorite. I would go Belichick. Will the Mercedes-Benz Stadium roof be open at kickoff? And it looks like yes is the favorite on that. I'm going to go no. I think the league will close it. The league always wants the conditions controlled. So, I don't know what the rules are, whether they're different. I know there are rules during the season on whether retractable roofs can be open or closed, and it depends on the weather. I don't know whether those rules are any different during the Super Bowl, but my hunch is that the league will close. I think the league wants to take the elements out of the Super Bowl, so I would go with it'll be closed. Who will be mentioned first during the broadcast? Which coach, Belichick or McVay? Belichick. That's Belichick. Will greatest of all time be mentioned during the broadcast? Knows the favorite in that. I'd go yes. I think yes. I think that absolutely will be said. Will Bill Belichick be referred to as a genius? Yes or no? And knows the favorite. I'd go yes. Will Belichick and McVay age gap be mentioned during the broadcast? That's an easy yes. That one's pretty obvious. Will Brady and Goff age gap be mentioned during the broadcast? Yes or no? I'd say yes. How many times will Robert Kraft be shown during the live broadcast from kickoff until the final whistle? 2.5. I'd go under there. I think it'll be under. I think we'll see Robert Kraft two times or less. So I think that'll be. Will Tom Brady be seen cursing during a live broadcast? Yes or no? Knows the favorite? I'd go yes. I think the answer is yes on that one. Will there be a highlight of Tom Brady in his first Super Bowl against the Rams? Yes or no? That's a yes. I think that one's pretty easy. Greatest show on turf said during the live broadcast. Knows the favorite? I'd go with yes, though. I think they'll harken back to Super Bowl 36. And we'll talk a little bit about Super Bowl 36 once we get into this. Will the pass interference penalty from the NFC Championship game be shown during the game? Of course it will. That's easy money, folks. That's the easiest money. Go to Vegas and bet on that one. That's easy money. Oh, my goodness. Tony Romo says, here we go, over or under 2.5 times. He's kind of taken the here we go mantle from Chris Collinsworth because, Collinsworth was always the here we go guy. So I guess Romo's kind of taken Collinsworth's catchphrase away, but I think that's over. I think Romo's going to get it. And that may come down to the game because I think, here we go is a phrase we hear in the fourth quarter of games. So you're counting on a close game. And I do think this game's going to be close, so I'll go with an over on that. Will there be a streaker during the game? Oh, God, no. I hope not. Oh, my goodness. If there is a streaker, who will be the first person to tackle him? Will it be a security player, coach, ref, or other? I'm going with security. All right. I think we've had enough of these prop bets. Good Lord. I mean, my God, you can bet on whether there's going to be a streaker during the game. All right, I think we should probably just stop here before we get to any. I may have already gotten into some trouble with this. Let's stop before we get into any more trouble, and let's talk about the game when we continue here on the Locked On Jets podcast. So anyway, after that silliness, now let's talk about Super Bowl 53 Sunday in Atlanta. Patriots, Los Angeles Rams. The last time these teams met in the Super Bowl, it was 17 years ago. It was the Patriots and the St. Louis Rams. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick were there. And, I was thinking a lot about that game over the last few days. And, it just pains you to think of how long these guys have been doing it. Because you have to remember that, how long ago that was. It was 17 years ago. That was the Super Bowl that came right after 9/11. I remember that they had the great halftime show with U2. And if you remember, that game actually got pushed back a week. They actually had to push the Super Bowl back a week because 9/11 happened the week it was supposed to be week two of the NFL regular season, and the games were obviously postponed that weekend. So the week two slate of games were moved to week 17 that year, and the entire playoffs were pushed back 1 week. So the week that was supposed to be the wild card weekend ended up being week 17. The weekend that was supposed to be divisional weekend was the wild card, and so on and so on. And that was actually a year back. They did not always have the bye between the championship games and the Super Bowl like they do now. In fact, I think that may have been the final year that they did not. There were some years where they played the championship games on one Sunday, and then the Super Bowl was the very next Sunday. And during that stretch, it always seemed like the higher quality Super Bowls came without the bye week. But they changed it. I think that may have been the last time they ever had no bye between the championship game and the Super Bowl. But it actually ended up being an issue because there was some convention that was taking place, I remember, in New Orleans, which was the site of the Super Bowl that year. So the NFL had to work it out with that convention to push the Super Bowl back. But, you know, you think about how long ago it was, and it was, I mean, Marshall Faulk was the dominant back in the league at that point. He was, it's amazing. And Brady and Belichick have been around this long that, I mean, now they're playing against the Rams offense led by Todd Gurley in the Super Bowl. It's depressing from the Jets standpoint to think about how long these guys have dominated. But, you know, I have been thinking about that game. And I remember that year, the Patriots and Rams played a Sunday night game in Foxborough that the Rams won. And that actually may have been the reason, that game may have helped the Patriots win the Super Bowl, because I've read about how Belichick went after that game and he looked back and realized that he had made a mistake in his game plan. Is that what New England really should have done? Is Marshall Faulk was the focal point of the Rams offense at that point. They did not do enough to take away Faulk. So during that Super Bowl, they did everything they could to neutralize Faulk. And they, you know, they, even when he was going up for patterns, they made sure they hit him. They made sure he felt it. They made sure, they just tried to do everything they could to make him uncomfortable, make the hits pile up. And, you know, for it worked. They stymied an elite Rams offense. You have to remember going into that game, it's crazy to think of now, but the Patriots were a huge, nobody thought the Patriots were that good that year. They were kind of viewed as a fluke, and the way they beat the Raiders in the Tuck Rule game and the snow kind of played into that the whole idea they were a fluke. And, you know, Brady, you think of, yeah, they had Brady, but you have to remember Brady was in his second year in the NFL, and he was a guy who, he was not great at that point. He was a guy who, you know, played effective football, but he was not really Tom Brady the way he is now. Nobody thought the Patriots were legitimately a huge underdog. Nobody thought the Patriots even had a shot to win that game. So it's amazing how full circle we've come. And now, you know, hopefully, you know, if you're a Jets fan, I'm sure if you're a fan of almost any team, you're hoping that maybe we come a little full circle and the Patriots as favorites lose and that's the end of the dynasty. You know, heading into that game, Ricky Prohl, who was a receiver for the Rams, made a famous comment: "A dynasty is born tonight," because the Rams had won the Super Bowl 2 years earlier, and they were going for two Super Bowls, two championships in 3 years, and they were never the same after that loss. And the irony was that a dynasty was born tonight. That night, it was just New England. The Rams had actually won the Super Bowl 34 2 years earlier, also in Atlanta, so maybe a good omen for the Rams. They had won the exciting game where the Titans were tackled on the 1 yard line going in for the tying touchdown. And as close as Jeff Fisher would ever come to winning a Super Bowl. You can imagine that Jeff Fisher was in the Super Bowl at one point. The real reason I was thinking back to that game was the Faulk thing, the Marshall Faulk thing, how the Patriots just did everything they could to make Marshall Faulk uncomfortable, to make him a non-factor in that game. And that was a Rams offense that was just loaded with weapons. So you had Kurt Warner playing great football at quarterback. You had tremendous receivers, Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holtz, but the Patriots knew that Faulk was the focal point of that game. And I think there are some parallels in this game to Todd Gurley and how important he is to the Rams offense. Now, Gurley was not a big factor in the NFC Championship game, and the Rams overcame that, but he has been, when the Rams have struggled this year, it's been when Gurley has been shut down. And yes, they were able to overcome that, but there were other games where they were not able to, like Chicago or, you know, some of the other moments. And you also have to question how healthy Gurley is. Now, the fact that you have the bye between the championship games and the Super Bowl probably helps, you know, if to the extent he's banged up. And we don't know. The Rams have claimed he's healthy. I'm a little skeptical of that based on how he was not utilized for long portions of the NFC Championship game. So I think the Patriots are going to do everything they can to try and take Gurley away. You know, I've gone back and forth on this game, and I actually originally was thinking I was going to pick the Rams, but I am going to pick the Patriots. I'm 6-4 in the playoffs, and I'm obviously pulling for the Rams to win. You know, I got some heat for picking the Patriots against the Chiefs in the conference title game, but I mean, I thought they'd win that game. I'm not picking who I want to win. I'm picking who I think's going to win. And, you know, the Patriots did what I thought they would do. I felt like it was going to be a close game. I felt New England would pull it out in the end, and that's pretty much what happened. And I'm going with the Patriots again because we just talked about Gurley. I feel like they're going to do what they can to neutralize Gurley. The Rams love to run that stretch play, that outside zone play. I think they're going to do everything they can to make sure they set the edge effectively, make sure their gaps are covered. And they're going to leave this in Jared Goff's hands. And I think if the Rams win, it's going to be like a Jared Goff kind of. I think there are a handful of guys I could see winning the MVP if the Rams win, and Goff is one of them. Goff would probably be my favorite to win MVP because I think they're going to do. I think New England's going to put this game into Goff's hands, and Goff may be able to win it. I mean, he may be able to do it. He did it in the NFC Championship game. That was one of the more impressive performances I've seen for a young quarterback in recent times. He really lifted that team on his back when they were down multiple times. They needed a big drive, and he hit big passes. He avoided the big mistake. He didn't take the killer sack that knocked his team out of field goal range. I think that, though, the Rams don't scare me the way the Chiefs did on offense. I know they're an excellent offense, but the Chiefs just had so many weapons. And you just looked at the Chiefs lineup up and down, and you said, man, the Patriots don't have the defense to stop all these guys. I actually think the Patriots are built a little bit better to stop the Rams than they were the Chiefs. I mean, I think you can always take one guy away just by making him the focal point of your defensive attack, and I think that's what they'll do with Gurley. But you know, you look at offense, they have a tremendous corner in Gilmore, who I think will see a lot of time against Cooks. I also think we'll see some zone against the Patriots. I think they'll try and play some zone to mitigate what the Rams like to get the receivers free releases by using motions, by using stacked formations, and those are not quite as effective against zone coverages. So I think they'll do what they can. I think you'll see Patriots have used man a lot this year in coverage. I think they'll play more zone. They'll force Goff to decipher their coverages. They'll mix a lot of crazy looks at him when they can, especially when you get into passing downs. So yeah, that's something I think they're going to do what they can to also try and make sure they get Cooks against Gilmore when they do play man. So I think it's going to be the type of game where Robert Woods is really going to have to step up. And again, maybe it's possible. And that's the thing New England does. You know, New England makes you play outside your comfort zone. They take away what you do best. And more than anything else, that forces you to leave your comfort zone because now you have to rely on things you're not used to relying on. And that's where you get uncomfortable. That's where maybe you make mistakes. So I see that now the Rams, they have better secondary options than a lot of other teams. So they may be able to pull it out. But I think they're going to have to get a little out of their comfort zone. Once again, just like in the NFC Championship game, I'm not sure they're going to be able to run the ball effectively. Now, if they can run the ball effectively, and again, I think New England's going to be trying to shut them down in that sense, then the Patriots have problems. But I think that they'll do enough to slow the Rams down. And then on the other side of the football, I just don't like this matchup for the Rams defense. I think, you know, the Rams have not been great at stopping the run all year. They've been susceptible against the play-action pass. The Patriots have kind of reinvented themselves this year as kind of more of a power run type team. They like putting the fullback in there. Rams are a little bit light. I like Wade Phillips in this spot. I go back to that game 3 years ago with the Broncos, that AFC Championship game where he adjusted what he likes to do. He kept getting crushed by the Patriots when he played them, so he adjusted things a little bit. He did more mixing his looks on defense. Rather than playing straight man, he blitzed less frequently. He depended on his pass rush to get there. But I just don't like, you know, I think this Patriots team has become a power run team. I think that they're effective playing play action. The Rams defense is not effective playing play action. And again, I think on the other side of the ball, they're going to do what they can to take Aaron Donald out of the game. So I think if the Rams win, you know, I'll give you four guys. I think if the Rams win, one of these four guys is going to be MVP. It's going to be Goff, or it's going to be Woods on the offensive side of the ball. Or if it's a defensive player, it's going to be Sue. Or it's going to be Dante Fowler Jr. because I think you're going to see constant double teams on Donald. You may even see them figure out a way to get a third guy on him somehow. I mean, I think I've seen this script enough out of Belichick. When the other team has the one dominant player up front, they just do whatever they can to take that guy out of the game. So they'll do whatever they can to take Donald out of the game. Now, it's one of the reasons the Rams got Sue was so that if Donald saw double teams, he could take over a game. And, you know, Sue's certainly talented. He's kind of come to life in the playoffs. I mean, look, could he have one of those games he had at Nebraska where I don't know if you remember that 09 Big 12 championship game when he was in college. It kind of put him on the map where he had like five sacks of Colt McCoy. He almost single-handedly wrecked Texas's season. Could he have that kind of game? Well, it's possible. And listen, that's why the Rams got him. The other guy who could step up is Dante Fowler Jr., and I'm almost expecting him to step up. This is the one guy. You know, if you're asking me which free agent I don't want the Jets to sign, I'm pretty confident this is my guy because he's been a career underachiever. He's been all kinds of issues around him in the locker room, off the field. He's gone to the Rams. We talked about him a few months ago. I certainly did not want to trade a pick for him. I said, you know, maybe a different story when he becomes a free agent. Really, he's not produced as a Ram. But I was waiting for it, and I knew it would come because I knew there'd be some iconic moment in the NFC Championship game where this guy would take over, and I could just see it now, like that highlight being flashed before my eyes as the Jets sign this guy, convincing the Jets that this is the guy. Now all we need is some big sack of Brady in the Super Bowl, and then we're going to end up with this guy, and I'm just going to be upset. I think one of those guys is going to have to take over the game, but I don't love this matchup for the Rams on defense. Now, the one thing I do like is the thing that bothers Brady is if you can get the interior pass rush. I think Sue has to have a big game. I think he's one of my guys who I would look to as a possible MVP if the Rams have won because he'll have a big game. They'll do what they can to take Donald out. So when you take out the other team's number one guy, their number two guy has to step up. But you know, I think the Patriots will do enough offensively, and I think they'll do enough to slow the Rams down. And you know, look, I'm hoping I'm wrong on this one. It would not be. This is again one of these games. It's been a lot. You know, sometimes you enter the playoffs and you look at games, and you say this is a total mismatch. I only think one of these teams can realistically win the game. That's not the case here. I mean, I do think either of these teams could realistically win this game, but I am going I'm going with the Patriots in this game. I started with the Rams because of the offense, because of their interior pass rush, but I just think the Patriots, I think this is a tough matchup for the Rams. I think the Patriots match up with this team better than they match up with the Chiefs, and hey, they beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, so I'll go with New England over over Los Angeles in Super Bowl 53. Again, hoping I'm wrong. That's all for today's show, though. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the game, and we'll be back on Monday to talk about Super Bowl 53.